Brad, joining us right now in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Scott Wilson. He is president of the Connecticut Citizens Defense League. And Scott, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Good morning, Brad and Dan. Thanks for having me on. And if you would indulge me for just one second, only because I know your guest after 8 o'clock is Dr. Prasad Srinivas. And, if I could comment briefly on some of the heat that he's been taking lately. And of course, this isn't an endorsement of the doctor for his run for governor. And in fact, CCDL would not endorse him based on his vote for the Gun Control Act in 2013. But I will say he's been accused of pandering. And I can also tell you that after that vote, in the past couple of years, there's no other legislator that voted for SB 1160, who has taken the time to educate themselves, to reach out to us as an organization, to come to legislative shooting events, try the firearms, ask questions. If anybody has had the opportunity to educate themselves and has rethought his positions since 2013 and had the opportunity to talk to us and get our views on the Second Amendment, that's the guy. Dr. Srinivas has educated himself, and I think it's been unfair of the criticism he's received lately.
Scott, and we'll get back to that because that is interesting.
Very interesting.
We all know how he was blistered in that editorial in the Hartford Courant. But overall, what is your sense of what's unfolding with the shootings in Florida, how the media is covering it, just your overall sense, particularly as the head of CCDL?
Well, I can tell you right now that this is, we could go in a lot of directions with this because we have, things coming from at gun owners, at Second Amendment supporters from every direction. We have, there's a new coalition that the governor is putting together with, New York and other states. We have, gun control discussions at the federal level. We have kids being, reportedly being manipulated by media to go out and become activists. We have our own issues here in Connecticut with the legislature. The session that's going on right now, what bills are being raised and what we could face by the end of the session.
Well, let's begin, Scott.
We got to get down to it.
Just to narrow it down, and you're right, we need to focus. So let's first of all look at the latest developments where the president insisting that we should have teachers armed or some kind of armed personnel concealed in schools. And then you've got the Hartford Courant today with a front page story that found everybody in the world opposed to that idea and couldn't even find one person in Connecticut who might support that idea.
Well, that's because they didn't look for that one person.
What's your stance on that, Scott?
Well, my stance is this, and we've taken a lot of heat, and I have personally taken a lot of heat since Sandy Hook on the whole notion of either teachers or faculty members or administrators or school employees in general, whoever it is, having extra training if need be, the ability to carry a firearm on their person. It's certainly not mandated. You wouldn't want to force anybody to do anything that is against their conscience. But, you have the ability right now with the staff that are already there to take action and respond to immediately to whatever's happening. I mean, put yourself in the position of a teacher that is hearing the gunshots come down their hallway with their students lined up behind them waiting for a madman to come through the door and blow all their brains all over the walls and the ceiling. It can't get any more graphic than that, and that's exactly what they're faced with. So I would think that any gun, being the last line of protection for those poor innocent children would be logical. And why is it that the first thing that the gun control side wants to do is always eliminate or curtail our rights? That's always the first option on the table for the people of this mindset when we could do both. We could protect our rights and also have the ability to respond immediately. The extra security is fine in the school, but we go back to what the revelation was yesterday, the fact that there was a police officer outside the school that refused to go in and engage the shooter. So at the end of the day, your life is in your own hands. The Supreme Court has even ruled that fact in the past, that law enforcement unfortunately, though many would, have no obligation or duty to protect an individual.
You know one thing, Scott, that I cannot understand. I will never understand it. This story about the police officer who heard the shots could have been in there, and that killer would have been dead, and these children would have been alive. And I can't understand anybody that would be against something like this. This is what I'm saying. And I don't know why. I don't know why certain people can't be trained so that we don't have to experience this again. Because we will. I'll tell you that right now. We will.
Well, you know, I mean, we get back to the magic talisman of a gun-free zone and the notion that somehow a teacher or an administrator would be simply incapable to defend themselves if a madman came in the school shooting, when in fact there are defensive shootings by citizens, defensive uses of firearms, on a daily basis throughout the country. It's a proven fact. There are plenty where you don't have to look very far to find defensive use of firearms, be it actually involving the actual using of the firearm, or just the very simple fact is of having a firearm in the first place is a known deterrent when we have gun-free zones where they're just kill zones, where people are continually going back that have an agenda to murder people, and they're succeeding at a very high rate. Why not at least have the option for deterrent? If we're going to say that we need to do everything and anything to protect our children, why is this discussion off the table in the minds of many?
Okay, Scott, hold that thought. I know, Brad, we're coming up on a traffic report, and then we'll be back with Scott Wilson, President CCDL, on Brad and Dan.
Okay, Cindy, let's check and see just how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing at 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. How does it look right now?
Well, Brad, it's not looking too bad on 84. If you're taking a ride from Waterbury into Hartford, it's just your usual slowdowns. 91 south, tap of the brakes into I-84, 72 westbound. We have an accident on the off-ramp to New Britain Avenue exit 2 that's just causing minor delays. No big problems on 691 over Meriden Mountain. Wilbercross Parkway is in okay shape. And a hassle-free ride on 9 North through the Aragone Bridge stoplights. This report is brought to you by Connecticut Toyota Dealers. Take the road less traveled with Toyota's entire lineup of available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive vehicles, whichever you choose. Adventure is included. Toyota. Let's go places. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 7:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And again, at 17 minutes after 7 o'clock, a reminder that this traffic report also brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. I know so many of you that now work with the company, one of the finest insurance companies there is over there in West Hartford, Bouvier Insurance. And remember, they'll always take good care of you. 18 minutes after 7 o'clock.
If you're going to replace the windows in your home, do you want one discount or two? During Renewal by Anderson's President's Day Window Special, get two discounts. I'm Ted Koontz from Renewal by Anderson. Through February 25th, buy one window or patio door, get your next one 40% off, and save an additional $200 on your project. You need a window company that you can trust, and we're the full-service replacement window division of Anderson, who's been building windows since Teddy Roosevelt was president. Buy one window or patio door, get the next one 40% off, and save another $200 on top of that. With no money down, no payments, and no interest for a year. Renewal by Anderson's President's Day Window Special ends February 25th. For a daytime or evening appointment, call 1-800-482-9955. 1-800-482-9955. That's 1-800-482-9955 or visit mosttrustedwindow.com.
See website for restrictions.
19 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, and we'll get back to our special guest, Scott Wilson, president of the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, in just a moment. But let me remind you that the DeSopo Funeral Chapel, they've been one of our advertisers for over 20 years. And they have been providing premier funeral services for far longer than that. Yes, you can trust. You can truly trust the folks at DeSopo's Funeral Chapel, Wethersfield or East Hartford, whichever you prefer. DeSopo.com, that's their website.
Okay, Brad, back with Scott Wilson from CCDL. Scott, I want to get to some of the legislation on the state level, but do you believe generally, or does CCDL believe generally, that the goal of the left is to take away our guns?
Yes, and I think, you know, I think there's probably variations of how far certain people on the left would go. I do believe there are certain people that would love total disarmament, and I do believe some of those people are probably cunning enough and savvy enough to not say that. You know, they often repeat the line that, you know, no one's going to take your guns and no one wants to take your guns, yet they seem to implement piece by piece little tidbits of legislation, ideas, proposals, executive orders, and so on that try to move in that direction. And the American people, I think, are, at least for the most part, are smart enough to see what's in the tea leaves here and oppose it. You know, and we know that every time serious gun control is on the agenda and looks like there's a possibility that it may come up for a vote or could pass, that's when Americans, and many of them first-time gun owners who have never thought of owning a gun, go out and purchase firearms, take safety classes, buy gun safes, because they're so afraid that the day will come that they will lose their right to possess and own firearms.
Scott, I just have a very simple question.
Yes,
a very, very simple question. Here we are in a school, all right?
Yes.
There are 2,000 to 3,000 kids that attend classes in that particular school. Somebody comes in and starts shooting and kills 17, 18, 20, 25 of those young people. What are these folks that say what you just stated? What are these folks that say this? What do they think we should do to protect those young people? I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, I can tell you they'll bounce around from, you know, they'll start calling out bump stocks, they'll start calling out, you know, banning guns for adults. By definition, they're legal adults at the age of 18, saying that they don't, now that even Trump said that, you know, he would like to see the possibility moving towards people under 21 not being able to purchase firearms. And at what point are you an adult? At what point does your right to vote go along with your right to own a firearm? You can't have one without the other, in my view. And I don't think it's fair, and I think we're clutching at straws, looking for excuses. There's a combination of mental health involved. There's a combination of, you know, the fact that these incidents are now so sensationalized, so viral videoed, so sent out everywhere across social media, and people have a hard time getting that image out of their heads. I do too. But, you know, we're just looking for solutions that are going in the wrong direction. We need to protect the children at the source, right there in the schools. One way, shape, or another, that's what we need to do as a society.
Scott, as you know, the state legislature is crafting legislation that would outlaw bump stocks and ghost guns. What is CCDL's position on this?
Well, you know, our big concern with bump stocks, first off, I don't know anybody, if I do, they don't really broadcast it, that owns a bump stock. That doesn't mean that we don't have concerns over them banning these types of devices, simply mainly because they don't just include the bump stocks themselves. They include components of a trigger, according to the language that Governor Malloy would like, that would affect competition shooters, people who shoot and compete statewide, nationwide, to be the very best they can, to be the most proficient they can with their firearm. That's the most concerning. The other thing I'd like to say about it is that, you know, it's feel-good legislation. I pointed out in the past to, you know, many sources that that you can bump fire a gun without one of these devices attached to it. You can use a belt loop, a shoestring, and it's very easily accomplished. To go with that, we have a 10-round magazine ban now, so I don't see what the point of having a bump stock ban would be, with the fact that you're only allowed to have 10 rounds of ammunition in your firearm anyways. I don't think that somebody that is so intent on mass murdering people are going to care about a ban on bump stocks. They're already out to commit the most atrocious of violent acts possible. Why would they care about these devices?
Very interesting.
At the federal level, of course, Trump is talking about banning bump stocks, raising the age to 21 years of age. What are your thoughts on all of this?
You know, the bump stocks, I think I touched on, you know, but for somebody who can legally, at the age of 18, if they're out of high school, be asked to move out of their house by their parents and be forced to probably move into some neighborhood that you don't know. I was out of the house at 18 years old. I was out on my own, and I worked at that time trying to get my feet underneath me. I worked minimum wage jobs. I lived in, I will say it, I lived in, you know, as far as New London goes, dangerous neighborhoods, and you know, for cheap rent, because that was all I could afford at the time. Now, I didn't own firearms at the time. I had never thought of owning a firearm until I was in my 30s. But I will say that, you know, had I had the opportunity to know then what I know now, and had I wanted to make the choice to be able to protect myself in my home at the time, I would think it would be an injustice to strip somebody of their right to keep and bear arms. And I do think it's a constitutional infringement. I don't think Donald Trump or anybody at the state level would last very long if they were to impose such legislation or mandates upon us.
Well, again, when you look at the situation here, I cannot, for the life of me, understand how this police officer, who was trained to do what he should have done, and he didn't do it, and look what happened.
Right. Well, you know, you look at Castle Rock versus Colorado, as I stated earlier, where the police have no duties, gone up and been, a decision was made at the Supreme Court, numerous federal courts, and Warren versus D.C., you would be shocked if you went to Wikipedia and read the outcome of what happened in that situation. But there's no duty, at the end of the day, for police to protect an individual. And again, I know we have many brave men and women who wear the blue that would run towards disaster to help people. But ultimately, you know, our social contract with our government, with our federal government, with our state government, is the fact that we are, as free citizens, entitled some ability to protect ourselves from violent crime and from harm overall. And I think to take that right away would just be unconscionable. In the light of the fact that, really, at the end of the day, you do not have the police always there to protect you. They're not going to. You can't bring a police officer everywhere you go. And I think we have that right to protect ourselves.
Scott, do you foresee CCDL not supporting a lawmaker who votes in favor of banning bump stocks and ghost guns in Connecticut?
I would probably want to discuss that with the executive members of the committee. I want our focus is on educating them. We've sent out a brief to legislators showing them the differences between bump stocks, the different types of actions of firearms, the terminology used surrounding them. We want the ability to educate them. We know we're going to have a public hearing as it pertains to bump stocks and the ghost guns that are now the new buzz gun control word of the day. So we're going to educate them, and if we can convince them that it's feel-good legislation and that it's really being used as a motivator to keep the gun control crowd moving forward, that's what they're really looking to do. They're probably very afraid of nothing passing this year and losing steam. And, if we have to fight it to a point to protect those other items, we will. We will protect them. We may spend some political capital in the process, but, we just very simply can't afford to cede the argument that objects are the cause for mass murder and objects are the cause for all the crime that's going on in our society today.
Scott Wilson, president of the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, and I thank you so much, and Dan, of course, does too, for being with us this morning. This is such an important, important issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
I'm happy. Thank you, guys. I'm happy to come on anytime, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. You take care. And Brad, we'll have open phone time when we come back if people want to weigh in on this at 888-574-2723.
It is 7:30, and we will be back.